It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Why Europe's economy and oil trading matter to you. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, we're going to start overseas, where tomorrow the European Central Bank is expected to come out with more stimulus for its economy. Quincy Crosby is a market strategist for Prudential Financial. Quincy, explain why Americans should care about whether Europe's growing enough.
We live in a world that is so interrelated that it's important to have stability and growth, and believe it or not, some inflation, which allows companies to raise their prices, to raise wages. And so anything that central bankers or the respective governments can do to help stabilize the situation, but also to help create some demand and growth is helpful, whether it's coming out of China, out of the Eurozone, and in fact, in the United States. Every country that can help push the gross domestic product up, demand up for products and services, helps everyone, helps growth and stabilization.
Let's talk now about oil, which has gotten a lot of attention lately. Give us a quick snapshot of where the oil market is and what its impact is on stocks, but also on regular people.
For regular people, it's kind of nice because you go to the gas station and you've got more money in your pocket afterwards. But for the stock market, it has been very much linked to the price of oil. Remember, quite a bit of the energy companies are in the stock market, in the S&P 500. And when oil prices go down, their share prices come down as well. So this linkage has been, almost back and forth, creating volatility, but also creating opportunities in the market.
Okay, Quincy Crosby at Prudential Financial. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Think street gangs, and you may think street crime, stick-ups, drug dealing, and the like, but gangs are increasingly going digital, raking in money through white-collar crime. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Today's gangs have branched out into crimes that involve more brains than brawn. John Bandler owns the Bandler Group, a consultancy on cybersecurity and other crimes. He says, like other entrepreneurs, criminals want to expand their profit-making ventures.
Financial crime, identity theft, check fraud is very lucrative. It's much harder for law enforcement to catch them. And if law enforcement catches them, it's much harder to prosecute them.
Last year, California indicted the Long Beach Crip Gang. The state accused it of identity theft and tax return fraud to the tune of $14 million. Ronald Huff is a professor emeritus at UC Irvine and an expert on gangs. He says we shouldn't be surprised gangs are evolving. Everyone's tech savvy today.
Gangs are a reflection in some ways of the larger society, and so it would be naive to think that gang members would not be acquiring these skills.
He says the U.S. needs to play better defense than it has been. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Traditional color schemes for baby boys and girls tend to go heavy on the blue and pink, respectively. There is still plenty of that out there, but more and more parents prefer to buy unisex fashions for their kids for a number of reasons. Kate Sweeney reports from Atlanta on how companies are responding to change in the kids' clothing market.
Genevieve Levitt wheels a shopping cart loaded with groceries outside a Midtown grocery store. Her infant son, Dexter, takes it all in from his baby carrier in brightly dressed style.
He's wearing a green long sleeve onesie and white and gray striped pants that were my daughter's. You can see they have like a little lace around the edge.
Dexter's kicky red moccasins also came from his big sis, but these hand-me-downs aren't just about thrift. The Levitts make a concerted effort to dress both their children in clothing that's gender neutral.
Well, it's actually something I think like a tremendous amount about. I definitely like shop in both sections for both kids.
She's part of a small but growing trend of parents looking for kids' clothes that don't announce their genders with ruffles or footballs, and retailers are starting to take note.
These bibs here, the whole animal print idea, is definitely something that's a hip and trendy thing.
Sarah Moore is giving me the lowdown on the hippest looks for babies and toddlers. She's a sales assistant with the baby clothing brand Bumpkins, showcasing their wares at a recent trade show. The line recently did a total rebrand, downplaying the old pink and blue in favor of these unisex prints. Other companies that have gotten the memo include The Gap with its new gender-neutral kids line from Ellen DeGeneres, and a number of small startup brands with names like Princess Awesome. And who's dictating all this pre-K chic?
Millennials in general, we're just trying to target them.
Sherry Moskowitz is a sales manager for Bumpkins. The fashion industry has recently been blurring gender lines in clothes for young adults, and now
they are the ones having babies. They're the ones dictating the trends and demanding us to change our ways. It resonates with the parents, and they love it, and they wear it, so then they're going to dress their little accessory in it.
She says it's all about making your child fit stylishly into your world. For Genevieve Levitt, back at the grocery store, it's about her kids' world, too.
I want them to grow up knowing, like, they're accepted whatever their preferences are.
Whether that means pink for boys, blue for girls, or none of the above. In Atlanta, I'm Kate Sweeney for Marketplace.
And finally, in a long-awaited matchup pitting human against computer, the machine is currently in the lead. That contest pits Google's artificial intelligence program against a celebrated human champion in the ancient board game Go. That game has far more possible board positions than chess, so getting a computer up to speed with an expert person requires that the computer perform something like human intuition. That is a very tricky thing to get a computer to do, so mastering Go is something AI engineers have been intrigued by for some time. Google's program AlphaGo won the first game today, but it is a five-game match, so Go champion Lee Sedol still has a few chances to get humanity back on the scoreboard. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. 8 p.m., American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.